Walking over here in the cool Waterloo air, I've realized one thing. That one thing is, it is winter. It is disgusting out. It's gloomy. I don't like it. I'm a summer guy, and I don't want to deal with it. But that being said, this is my second episode hosting Talk the Hawk, and we have a new guest here. Ross, why don't you introduce yourself, even though I just did for you?
Well, you just did it for me, but my name's Ross Cadass, and this is my first episode of Talk the Hawk.
It's an exciting day. We got a lot going on this weekend. Of course, we got our Queens basketball matchup tonight, men's and women's. We have some hockey to talk about. We're just going to kind of do the whole run through of all the sporting world, mainly here at Laurier, but we're also going to go into some World Cup, even though Ross and I have very limited knowledge.
Very limited.
On what's going on in that soccer tournament or football tournament, whatever you want to call it. But I'm excited. We're going to go through some basketball, of course, hockey. We got rugby. I got some couple other funny stories we're going to go through. But starting off with the Queens, we'll start with women's basketball team since it's going to be the first game tonight at 6 p.m. Catch me on the broadcast. Women off to an interesting start this year. I believe they're 2-4. What do you see out of the women here, Ross?
What I see out of the women? I see they're fighting hard. Their last game was... Sorry, some technical difficulties.
So while Ross finds their last game, I just would like to mention Cassie Hurdle. I did a little Google search on Miss Hurdle there. She's ranked 11th in the OUA among scoring. I mean, she can put the ball in the basket. That's a good thing to be able to have. One of the things they struggled with against Guelph, I think it was last Wednesday, was they just didn't score enough. They had that great game against Toronto. They put up 60-odd points, 70-odd points, and then they just really struggled to get the ball in the basket. Players like Miranda Campbell, obviously, running the point, help out. But scoring is one of those things, especially in the women's game, that can be a challenge if you don't have those players on your team that are willing to kind of put up shots that are may not be just kind of easy layups. They got to kind of shoot the three sometimes and shoot off the dribble. Kind of some other things we're looking at when we're talking about who they're playing tonight. They're playing the Queens Golden Gales. For those of you that don't know, I am from Kingston, Ontario, Canada, home of Queens University. It's an interesting town. I kind of have a love-hate relationship. You know, growing up, you go to the Queens sports camps, you have a great time, you meet all these new people, but then you commit to Laurier. You commit to playing Laurier golf, as I did, and you just fall in love with the institution. You fall in love with the Golden Hawks. And all you want to do is cheer for Laurier when Queens Golden Gales come to town. So I will be doing no different. I will be rooting for Laurier, obviously. So we're going to kind of see how things shake out tonight. Ross, what do you see?
What do I see? I think our girls got a good chance tonight. Obviously, for the key player on Queens, Julia Chadwick and Laura Donovan. Those are the two key players for Queens, averaging 17 and 13 points respectively. I'd look out for them tonight, but I think our girls got it.
I agree. 17 points, it's sneaky hard to put up. Like, when I hear, like, for example, like our guard, Ethan Passley, on Laurier, I watched him play against Guelph, and he averages 17 points a game. I think he had 25 in against Guelph that day. But to actually average a certain amount of, to average high teens is actually very impressive. It's a hard thing to do. So that's when we say Julia Chadwick is averaging 17 points a game, I think Cassie's averaging 13, 14 a game, which is also impressive, but it's just a lot of points throughout a game. Like, you have to continuously bring your stuff, because if you have a game with 8 points, that really brings down the average. I don't need to explain basic math to a bunch of university students listening, probably hundreds of university students listening to this broadcast right now. It might be a little bit of a stretch, but let's call it hundreds. But it is hard to average like that high teen, even low 20 threshold, even mid 20 threshold, like we saw Ali So average last year.
Yeah, I'd say it's pretty hard. The one thing I'd say about it is consistency. Seems to be very consistent, take smart shots. That's what gets you to average those high teen numbers.
Yeah, one of the crazy things too is when we talk about consistency, we talk about consistency in shooting. If you're a good shooter, I mean, I was a high school basketball player once upon a time. I wasn't a very good player, but I'm a smaller guy, or I was in high school, and you have to kind of rely on your jump shot. And as soon as a team recognizes you have a good jump shot, Not that I had a good jump shot. Like, let's be real here. I hit the occasional three. Not really. But teams start to guard for that jump shot, and then you have to either pivot or do it better. And a lot of the times, players that aren't complete players won't pivot, and then they kind of get stuck, and they're not able to continuously put up those high teen games like we're talking about.
That's true. Talking about pivoting and complete players, we can move on to the Queens men team that are coming in for the game at 8 o'clock tonight. Two players are the Silas brothers, Luca and Cole. I know they're from your hometown. You probably can give a better synopsis of it on them.
Yeah, Luca and Cole probably scored about a combined 80 points on my Holy Cross Catholic secondary school high school team when I was in grade 11. Cole's, I think, 2 years older than me. Luca's a year older than me. They're both great players, averaging 18 and 16.6 respectively. But these guys run the floor so hard. Cole's a pretty gifted shooter. I know he's not having the best season shooting the ball, but he's a very good player. And these guys, you got to watch out for these guys. Like, they don't care if they're up 30, up 40. Like, they will just run on you and score on you at will.
Even that whole team, they got killers around them too. They got guys that can shoot.
There's a problem. Number 23, Michael Kelvin II. I played high school basketball with him. 6'7", lanky guard, can shoot the lights out, and he's got kind of a bag when it comes to his dunk package. Like, it's pretty ridiculous. So if you're going to that game tonight, make sure you catch their warm up. And I'm not sitting here trying to gas up the Queens University Gales too much, because I don't want to give them that kind of respect. But they are a good basketball team. Like, they have shown to have a strong record. They beat Carleton last week, so yeah. We got to give them a little respect.
Personally, to me, once you beat Carleton, you deserve respect. That's a fine basketball institution they got over there.
Ross was telling me, like, Carleton is a hard-nosed, defensive-minded team that has no problem allowing 30 points in a game. I know Coach Dave Smart, he's not there anymore. He might be president of basketball operations, but he's not the head coach. And if his team ever, like, there was a big incentive if his team ever allowed less than 30 points. And I think Queens put up nearly 70.
Yeah, they did. It was the Silas brothers and Cameron Bett. He caught fire. Another player to watch out for at Golden Hawks tonight.
He's a good little player. He's been around for a couple seasons. Another player we got is Sebastian Campbell. I'm just kind of running through all the players I played against in high school because I just recognize names and I want to make it about myself. Sebastian went to Crescent High School. This school, you would not believe. Where are you from, Ross?
I'm from Ajax.
Ajax, okay. So this school, Crescent High School, it's in Toronto. We went there for a basketball tournament. Unbelievable facility. We're talking like multiple gyms. We're talking robotics lab, wow. Curling rink, I would imagine. Nice field. We threw some... through the frisbee on the field, like in between games. It's just like, it's a private high school. It's super, super nice. But I just had to throw that in there. So he's another player. He's a really solid, kind of a bigger, thicker defender. So he might get some minutes tonight too. I'd like to shift now. Let's shift to our squad, because I know our squad, I'm gassing Queens a little bit. I'm not trying to gas them too much, but we do have to give them some credit. I know I mentioned Ethan Pasley, 17 points a game, has been playing some great basketball. Now I'm going to describe a quick story.
Go ahead.
Now the story is Wednesday night. We're playing the Guelph Griffins. It's kind of a back and forth game. Ethan's playing well, but the team's kind of struggling to really just kind of bury the Griffins in the ground. So we're looking at maybe 8 seconds left on the clock. We're down three. I said to my buddy, I was like in the past, we just go to Alley, we go to Romello. Who are we going to go to now? And he's saying like, oh, like we got some options. I was like, okay. Okay. So ball gets inbounded. Ethan kind of dribbles around the three. This thing was like a Damian Lillard-esque fadeaway, just drills it at the buzzer. There might've been a 10th of a second left, but it was a full on like fading to the corner. Just nothing but net. And then ultimately they did win in overtime, which was pretty awesome. Ben Stevens with a forceful dunk, about a minute left in the game to kind of seal the deal. So these are some of the kinds of things that we can do if we're playing at our best. And Ethan has been playing some unbelievable basketball. He didn't see as much of the floor as he wanted to last year, due to some things and kind of playing behind some senior guards. But I'm really looking forward to watching them tonight.
yeah, he looks like he's ready to step up to the challenge. Another player I want to mention on our squad is Tay Donald. He does a lot of the game managing. He's also, what I found, is a very underrated rebounder, where he'll grab a couple of rebounds, say if like Ben Stevens doesn't grab it. He'd grab a couple of those rebounds, those loose balls, and really push the pace. So I'd watch out for that tonight too.
Yeah, so I wrote game manager next to Tay Donald when I was kind of going through the squad, but then I looked on the OUA website. He's averaging 13 a game. This guy's a sneaky scorer, scores a lot in transition. And we also have Jemiah Brown Jeffers, who's a first year, one of my favorite players, and he's added some scoring as well, around 10 points a game.
One thing I'd also like to mention with Jemiah, he's a great defender with active hands too. He really knows how to get his hands in the cookie jar. Expect him to get a couple steals tonight.
Yeah, he's so calm too. Like when you watch him, he doesn't really say much out there, but there's a couple times during that Guelph game where I could just see in his eyes he was amped up.
Yeah.
Something about sports just makes you like just feel the fire, and I love it. What else do you want to talk about, Ross? What are we gonna go to next? Like if it was up to me, we'd be talking about golf this entire pod, but I know we can't do that. We kind of got to run through some things. So
I'm not the biggest golf fan, but next we could go into some hockey.
Sure. So I went to a hockey game on, what was it, last Friday. They were playing Toronto Metropolitan. How do you think that game went?
Against TMU?
TMU. What do you think happened?
For the women, sorry?
We'll start with men's because that's the game that I watched.
Start with men's?
They won 5-3. Honestly, when I was watching, it looked like it could have been 5-0. Our goalie played amazing through the first period and a half, but then, I don't know, kind of just let some... I mean, he was kind of left out to dry a few times, but just let some soft ones in. I was kind of just like sitting there. I was like, it was 4-3. TMU pulled their goalie. I was like, are we really this close right now? Like, we should be... It feels like we're dominating them. I was enjoying some tasty, salty popcorn while watching, and it was just like, I couldn't believe that I actually had to stay till the end of the period. I had things to do. It was a Friday night. I had some social obligations, but I had to stay and watch the rest of the game. So that's one of the things the hockey team needs to... I don't know if we need to close better. That was just kind of an awkward thing. Kind of a one-time thing.
I think it was more of a one-time thing. You know, they were also fighting hard. TMU was also fighting hard back, too. They didn't seem to, like... They didn't want to give up. They're kind of like zombies where they keep coming back.
True.
No lead is too safe.
Patty Brown nips an absolute beauty. I sound like a hockey guy talking like that, but I can't help it. Yeah, so it's a good game. I might be in the speed walking Hall of Fame.
Really?
Do you know why?
Why is that?
So I decided I was going to go to the game around 6 o'clock. Game started at 7, right? So then I do the old Google Maps, a 31-minute walk to Waterloo Memorial Athletic Complex. I said, "Are you kidding me? A 31-minute walk? I could hit a driver there. It's like not that far." So then I was like, I don't think. I'm going to leave at 6:40. I'm going to see what time I get there. I'm a fast walker. It's just what it is. So
headphones in or headphones out?
Headphones in.
Always.
The question is it a podcast or is it music?
For me, usually I go with music.
Okay. And if it's music, what kind of music?
Oh, it's got to be rap music.
Okay. So I'll go through my genres and then you can go through yours. So I go rap, hip hop, number one. I don't, are those interchangeable or like?
I kind of put them on the same because a rapper and a hip hop artist would work together so much and they interchange so much.
So give me an example. So Eminem is a rapper.
Yeah, I'd say Eminem is a rapper.
And then who's like a hip hop artist? Like, are we talking like YK Osiris?
I would say a hip hop artist is more kind of like a Drake, for example.
Where okay.
You wouldn't really think of Drake as a straight rapper first. It's more like he makes hip hop music.
Where he does.
He'll sing his own choruses. He'll rap a couple verses.
He does make some soft songs, but like I like it.
Yeah.
But then every once in a while, he comes out with a banger, so it's cool. Okay, top genres, right? And then I'll get back to my story.
Yeah.
So rap, hip hop. Let's put them on the same level. Country. Are you about that?
Oh, I'm not the biggest country.
Okay.
Fan.
Amelia is shaking her head that she is. Our producer here, not the biggest country guy. Then I like some pop punk, like head bangers, like just like. I don't know, something about like rock music just gets me fired up. But if I was to like proportionally weigh how much I listen to, I'd say rap about 50%, country 20, and then probably that rock another 20, and then miscellaneous kind of things we're dealing with is another 10%. And then if we're breaking it down even further, music is probably 60% of the time, and then podcasts, like whatever I want to kind of throw on, whatever I'm interested in, probably another 40%, making the total pie. Anyway, so I throw on the headphones, right? I'm trying to get there. Like I'm not wasting any time. I'm taking shortcuts. I'm going through Waterloo Park, and I get there at 6:45. I left at that is not right. I get there at 6:55, 15-minute walk. Or it was maybe almost 7. About a 20-minute walk. So I cut off, 11 minutes from Google? Like, I mean, Google must be, like, tracking, I don't know, someone who walks super slow. Watch the game. They get the win. Have some, like I said, have some good popcorn. Just hockey, though. Like, you got to flood the ice every period. There's a lot of, like, stoppage in time. Like, I'm not trying to deal with that as a fan watching.
A lot of line changing.
They do change on the fly, so it is better in that sense, but just a lot of interruptions. But I'm not a big hockey guy anymore. I used to, back in my Canadian upbringing, I did play a fair bit. But so then on the way home, I challenged myself. I said, how fast can I get home? I think the game finished at 9:15. I was like, okay, like we're going to go hybrid, you know, a hybrid walk. So like a walk, a little jog, see what we can do. Just get there as fast as we can. Did in 13 minutes. So wow. Google Maps can just like screw off on that sense. So it's like not really about that. Hockey. What do you want to talk about with the hockey? So we kind of went through the men's stuff. What do you see in the women's squad? Women having a tough year, I might add. Unfortunately, like I like to gas up my Laurier teams as much as I can, but you can't deny that they are 0-10. What do you see in the?
Yeah, unfortunately, our women not having the best year right now. They are sitting at the bottom of the West Division, but hopefully in these in their upcoming games against.
We got any easy games coming up?
I wouldn't really necessarily say easy. Might have some challenging.
I guess
games.
Nothing's easy when you're 0-10, but.
We got Brock.
Sorry, I'd like to apologize. That was a cheap shot. I didn't mean to. If any of the girls are listening, I'm very sorry.
Yeah, they work hard, but they have a game against Brock on the 25th, which is tonight at 7:00.
Is that in Brock?
That is here.
Oh,
it is home game.
Unfortunately, I will be prioritizing the basketball game over their game. I think they'll understand if I tell them that I prefer to kind of stay on campus and maybe just go to the basketball game instead, but who knows?
I got faith. I got a lot of faith in them.
Are you going to the hockey game?
I can't go to the hockey game.
Why can't you go?
Because I got the basketball game later tonight.
You're just going to watch it?
No, I'll actually be performing at the basketball game.
Like halftime?
Not like halftime.
So what do you mean by
performing? I'll be color commentating the men's basketball
game. Oh, you're color commentating. I am color commentating. Which game are you doing?
I'm doing tonight, our men's versus Queens.
So you're going to...
Tomorrow against Ontario Tech.
Ontario Tech. That's a winnable game, I might add. So you are... is this your first time doing it?
This is my first time doing it.
It's also my first time doing the women's game. I'm super excited. I don't know. I feel like I'm going to end up just like overanalyzing things and kind of going into too much, but we'll see.
Yeah, it's kind of my fear too, growing up playing basketball in high school as well. I'm kind of afraid to do that.
What were you like as a high school basketball player?
I'd like to say I was the ultimate team player.
Okay.
I was the guy who would, if we need to foul someone, yeah, I'd foul. I'd dive up for loose balls. I'd do all the dirty work that needs to get done to get the job done.
Big charge guy?
Yeah.
I took a couple of charges, but in my later years, I was so small, I just became a liability. I could have got my head taken off a couple times, but...
Well, you got to be kind of careful with taking charges, especially the older you get, because some guys jump out the gym.
Oh, yeah.
You don't want to end up on the wrong side of someone's mixtape.
Oh, I've been on the wrong side of a couple mixtapes. There's a player from Kingston by the name of Jared Kinsler. He didn't end up going playing in the OUA, but... probably like I can say I got my ankles broken, but probably the worst ankle breaker you've ever seen. Like like I was told, like you said, coach said foul. So I'm like trying to stop the clock or whatever. And I'm going after Jared. Like I'm trying to like take, like I'm just trying to get anything that I can on him. And I go for one of these swipes and he pulls the ball back behind, like behind his back and just kind of stands straight up. And I can't say that. I just barreled through the bleachers. Like wow. I was deleted off the floor. Like it was 5-on-4 for, and then I got the foul. I got the foul. I did what I wanted to do, but it was just a tough scene. He's got that on some mixtape out there on YouTube. Nobody has to go find that though. All right. So we were at hockey. We got the 6-6 men's hockey team and the 0-10 women's hockey team that are bound to turn it around at any point now. Rugby. I don't know if we covered this last show. I wasn't hosting, but we had a tough loss in the OUA final. I meant to make the point of traveling to Guelph. Unfortunately, I am a fast walker, but I'm not that fast, and I don't have a car up here, so I couldn't go. But the weather looked terrible. I'm not sure if you're a rugby guy or followed any of that.
Yeah, I watched a little bit of the game. It looked like it was just like the type of weather you don't want to play in. I don't know if anyone listening has played high school football before, but usually around this time is like some of the worst because it's cold, but it's also wet. It's just not the best climate to be playing in. I don't like.
Plus, though, if you're a rugby player, I feel like you don't care about those things. Like those guys are tough.
It's true.
Like line up the golf team, which is the team that I'm on, against the rugby team, and like put us in like, let's say put us in a tank of cold water. Like they could go, like their temperature could be so much lower than ours because we're just a bunch of like soft golfers, and they just like get their face beat in for like a living. Like they just love it. Were you a high school rugby player, football?
No, I was just football player, not rugby.
What Been position?
Really both. For football, O-line, D-line, and linebacker.
Did you play both? Did you play two ways?
When necessary.
When necessary. Team guy, love it.
What about you?
So quickly running through, I know everyone wants to know my high school athletic story. Played volleyball in grade 9. Didn't love that. I'm addicted to volleyball now. I'll get into that later. Holy smokes, that's a fun sport. Basketball all 4 years, golf all 4 years, and then rip some ultimate frisbee too. What about you?
Just basketball, football. Didn't really have time to play other sports around my school. My high school is a pretty big sports high school.
Yeah.
So it was kind of like most kids only played two sports because that's all they could.
That's a big time commitment though.
Yeah.
When we're talking about time commitment, like at the high school level, it jumps up when you go to university, especially with like the basketball teams run like, they'll run like 5 practices a week, have 2 shoot-arounds, 3 workouts, and a couple games. It's like, that's taking up so much time. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, I could kind of relate because in first year, I actually tried out for the football team.
Okay.
So the average Laurier football schedule, how it would work, at least during spring training, is Mondays, Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays are practices. Gym days where you have to hit the gym in the morning at like 5-6 in the morning. That's where you just hit straight the gym. Wednesdays are always conditioning days for about 2 hours, just straight conditioning.
Is that just running or sprints or?
Just sprints. Like,
oh God.
Just sprints and then about three or four days of just lifting. So these guys are basically full-time job. It's a full-time job being a student.
Yeah, you know, I heard that's exactly what the field hockey team runs through as well. Kind of the same regiment in terms of conditioning and working out. But I don't know, that could just be some misinformation I heard.
It is
a massive commitment. And then when you start even hockey too, I met with a student who was trying out for the hockey team as well, and he said the commitment is just like to get to the arena and get changed and everything and be on the ice and then be in the gym lifting is just so much. And when you're talking about kind of throwing them into a new environment with school and learning the ins and outs of your academics, it becomes tough and challenging to navigate all that.
Yeah, I just always looked at it as most of us are growing up when we come to campus. Imagine doing that while also being a full-time athlete.
Full-time athlete, full-time job, basically.
Yeah.
Do you want to get into the World Cup? Yeah. I don't know how deep we can go. I wish we had Nicholas here. He could dive right in for us, but World Cup. I was sitting in statistics the other day and I saw about 10 of the Canada-Belgium games going on different screens. So I kind of followed in that sense. My professor was a huge World Cup guy, so he was just like right in it. We did lose 1-0. I know a lot of people were upset about that.
Yeah, we did. I know Qatar also lost too. I think they were the first team for a while to actually host and lose their opening two games. I think that's a new record.
Yeah, there's some whack stuff going on there. Like, I'm not trying to get like banned by the Qatar government or anything, or like get a hit out on me, but there's just, I heard some like bribery was going on with Ecuador, like $7.5 million for them to like intentionally lose a game. That's like, it's just kind of crazy, because when you bring in like the global football or soccer community, there's some things start to get exposed with governments and things of that nature. So it is odd. I heard an interesting thing. Canada has never scored a goal in the World Cup. Now, I don't know how many times they've played in the World Cup. That's a quick Google search away. Let's see.
I'd like to change that wording. Canada has yet to score
in the World Cup. Wow. Growth mindset there. I like it. How many times has Canada qualified for the World Cup? They've only done it in 1986, and apparently they went scoreless. So I have good feelings about their upcoming game against. Yeah, it's just an absolute problem here in the studio. Nobody knows anything about sports. Nicholas, where are you? We need you.
Their next game, I think, is Sunday the 27th against Croatia.
What time?
11 a.m.
11 a.m. That's a beautiful time for me. I'll be watching. I can't wait for that game.
That might cut into my football, I'm not going to lie to you.
Sunday, 11. Oh, you'll be okay.
Yeah.
How long is the game? Like an hour and a half? It'll maybe cut in a little bit. Yeah. Now, you're a Philadelphia Eagles fan.
Philly fan, proudly.
Proudly. I'm a Dallas Cowboys fan. I know all you guys are going to hate on me out there. That's fine. We're good this year. Philly's better.
Yeah, y'all stomped the Vikings.
What is it, 40-3? How are you?
It was bad. I stopped watching.
And then Giants, too. We were down at half, and then we kind of pulled away from them, which is good to see. It's one of those things where, like, the whole NFC East is good this year, so I can't even, like, say, oh, the Phillies suck. It's like, we're just, like, all good, so that's fine.
Yep. It's funny. Two years ago, we were the NFC least.
We were the laughing stock. You guys can have the division. We'll take the wild card, and we'll just go from there.
Oh, we'll just take the Super Bowl.
Oh, I mean, you probably will. Like, we'll probably choke it. I mean, when did you take the Super Bowl last, 2018?
2017.
Nick Foles.
Yep.
Nick Foles get that 7-touchdown game?
I want to say...
That was earlier on.
2014 or 15.
Yeah, just out of the blue.
Completely random.
Because I think Peyton Manning got one around that time when he was throwing all those touchdowns, and then Nick Foles, who is Nick Foles at that time, kind of slung it around for 7 touchdowns, so... I got an interesting story, kind of flipping the script from the football talk, football being soccer, football being American football. I participated in a study. I participated for the betterment of science in this world. I felt really good about it. University of Waterloo, who from time to time, athletically, I view them as a rival, but We're all in this together to try to better science. So I'm trying to do my part. I'm in business, so yeah. So I signed up for this study, right? The guy says it's a golf study. So I'm gonna go in. I'm gonna hit a bunch of shots. They're gonna mark me up with these things. I get in there. I'm not expecting much. I'm expecting maybe a simulator, maybe a couple little things on me. These guys were dialed in. Like, when I tell you, I had probably 40 little reflective trackers on me. I look like, you know, those guys, you see those videos come out in 2K where like T Jazz is like jellying and they're like putting that in the game. The motion cap suit. I was that, except they had to tape the motion kit. Like, I did not wear a suit. They had to tape them on me, which was a little bit painful taking it off. But again, I play golf. I don't play rugby. So I get to the lab and I'm looking around. The guy's like, oh, it's an E7. So come to E7. I'll get you hooked up. You'll hit your shots and you'll go home. Getting paid $40 for this, by the way. So I'm a working man.
Hey.
So I'm looking around for this and I don't see anything. And all of a sudden I look up and there was just a simulator. Like, I could see through the glass, but I was like kind of confused because I didn't see that before. So I walk in with the guy, introduce myself. He's a great guy. And then he hits the switch, and all of a sudden that glass that I saw through just freezes and goes opaque. So it's like, I was like,
it's pretty cool.
Are we just going to talk about, like, are we just not going to talk about how that was like one of the cooler things I've ever seen in my life? But huge room, cameras all around, there's probably 40 cameras in there. GC Quad, you probably don't know, you're not a big golf guy, no?
No, not
so a GC Quad is probably worth 40 grand. No golfer has them. They're used for like fitting, which is like just getting the club fit for the golfer. He's like, yeah, just through my program, we just kind of ordered this. And I was like, wow, UW does, they just do have that kind of bankroll, I guess. But so I was hitting my shots and I'm getting my club speed. And my club speed is around 108. And now for the golfers listening to this show, you're probably laughing because like for someone who plays like a lot, it's just in a depressing state right now. Like buddy's swinging at 120, they're just bombing it by me. So I think I need to do a little bit of this conditioning, this kind of football regiment, like you detailed earlier, and get in the gym and get my numbers up because it's a problem. It's just an issue.
Well, don't worry. You could ask some of our football team. They can probably be happy to give you some of the regimen.
Maybe I'll just start working out with the football team instead of, not that I work out with the golf team or at all, but no, I do need to change something. And that thing that I need to change is my speed because it's honestly pathetic. But like I said, felt great to contribute to the greater good. I just felt so morally righteous, just improving society as a whole by contributing to that study. So it was pretty awesome.
And you got 40 bucks.
Yeah, I didn't do it for the money. Wink, wink. Open gym is back. Do you participate in any open gyms?
Me personally, I haven't done it since my first year, so about 2019, but I highly do recommend.
Okay, you got to come. So usually from weekdays, it usually goes from 10 to 3 Monday to Thursday. And then today, Friday, I went for a quick run. It was Friday 1 to 3. But one thing I got to point out, like the amount of, I'm going to call it trash talk, and that's a nice way of putting it, is unbelievable. The way I look at sports and like my whole athletic career in general is I am not good at anything in the grand scheme of things. Even if I have play the best basketball or volleyball or whatever you want to call it game of my life, I'm still a pathetic little boy who doesn't know how to do anything that will never amount to anything athletically. And that is fine. So to experience the level of, I'm not going to say abuse because I don't want to get anyone in trouble, but it was just like, buddy, I get it. You like hit a three like in my face, like it's fine, but like you don't have to tell me about it after.
Personally, I like trash talk. I think trash talk, it keeps, when done properly. I think there's some sort of like things you got to respect, but trash talk gets people going. It's kind of like another added layer that makes the game mean more. Yeah. It's like, because especially in games kind of like basketball, I'm kind of biased with basketball. That's one of the only sports where you can guard someone that's same position as you and say, I am better than you in X, Y, Z, and show them why you're better than them. So trash talk in that sense to me is just makes the game more fun because, hey, you see that guy next week? It's like, I got your number next week.
And yeah.
You can practice what you're going to say to them.
Okay, let me pull back for a second because I don't think I explained my point quite articulately enough. I am upset with the amount of people that will trash talk and then do not care if they back it up or not.
Oh, okay. See, that's the issue.
Like, if you're going to call me if you're going to call me small, or you're going to call me whatever, and I beat you, then don't come up to me and dap me up and be like, oh, good game, man. Like, oh, it's for freaking fun. Just like own it. Be like, oh, like I shouldn't. Yeah. If you can back it up, like, I don't care. Like, cool.
Yeah, that's the issue.
And just the out there it's listening, it's just can't there's no account there's no accountability on your trash talk. You got to figure it out.
Yeah.
So open gym, pull up to that. We might have to get a run going. I mean, I don't want to get bodied too bad, but I would be down to get out with you. Maybe run some threes or something. What else we got going on? Intramurals set to continue. We're kind of in our playoff week. I'm playing on the worst. Not the worst. I'm playing in the worst volleyball division. And we're in the finals on Sunday night, 10 o'clock. Bleachers are going to be out. So if anyone wants to come watch some below average volleyball on the bleachers in the athletic complex at 10 o'clock on a Sunday night, feel free. I will be there. I'm going to try to take the win for my team, or help my team win, get that Laurier intramural champion shirt that is so coveted at this university.
Very prestigious shirt.
Have you participated in any intramurals this semester?
This semester, no, I really haven't. I want to next semester, hopefully.
Yeah, one that I got my eye on is intertube water polo. Ooh. How do you feel about that one?
I don't really know what that is, but it sounds pretty interesting.
So basically, you get in the pool with a little inner tube. It's like a little floaty device. Yeah. Basically like a life jacket, but funnier looking. And then you play water polo. Do you know what water polo is?
Yeah, I know water polo. Yeah, I just didn't know.
The
inner tube part, what it is. Yeah,
so it's basically for the unathletic people that want to still participate in water polo. Because I can't tread water for an hour. That's one of the most astonishing feats that we don't recognize, is that professional water polo players are able to just tread water for hours on end and they just don't get tired.
Nope. It's kind of like how people who run track run for practice. Every other sport, that's like a punishment.
Yeah, exactly.
That's their main.
I watched a YouTube video last night on the guy who broke the marathon record, the 2-hour mark. He's from Kenya. And they did, so the guy did, the guy was like, it was like a 13-minute video. It was like a mini doc. And he went on the treadmill and mirrored his pace, like that he would have been running for that whole marathon. Guy was sprinting. Like, he was actually going tops as fast as he could. And then he was like, I could do that for 30 seconds. This guy, this Kenyan who ran the marathon, did that for the entire race. That was his pace. Jeez. It just makes no sense. People are crazy when it comes to like athletic feats like that. You big David Goggins guy?
No, not really.
You know who that is?
No.
He's just this crazy guy. He was in the Navy SEALs. He's on like some popular podcasts, but he's just really into working out. You're gonna have to give him a quick Google search, because he's a lunatic when it comes to just like that kind of like marathon and mind over matter kind of thing. What else we got going on? We got miscellaneous sports. I say miscellaneous, that's kind of an inappropriate term to use, because every sport matters at this university. I'm going to give you my full support. Laurier Ringette, you're playing McMaster on Sunday. Good luck. I hope you do well. Swimming. I wanted to say my guy Kent Gali Avila got an OUA medal last year. He's having a great season, so keep it up, Kent. You're making us all proud. I hope you kind of rally the troops and maybe take down an OUA medal. I don't know when their season ends, probably sometime in second semester. And then finally, we're not even close to being done the show. I know how much everyone is enjoying this, but we got lacrosse. So I don't even know how the Laurier lacrosse season went. I know they do have some peculiar practice times. Some Friday nights at 10 p.m. from my buddy's buddy.
Oh, wow, that's ideal.
So they just practice at the most obscure times. That has something to do a little bit of a political problem with among them. Anyway, it doesn't matter. But Trent wins the OUA championship by a landslide. So I guess Trent is just sick at lacrosse now. A friend of mine's brother plays on the Brock lacrosse team. And Brock just got pumped. Like, Brock was winning every game the entire season against like kind of the Western teams, and then they go and play Trent and get absolutely demolished. Which my buddy plays for Trent volleyball, and we always rag on him for going to Trent. I mean, it's a nice campus. I was up there in the summer, but I guess Trent's lacrosse team is just a dynasty now or something.
Looks like if you want to play lacrosse, Trent's the place
go to Trent,
go.
Get recruited. And then finally, we have the Laurier and the Grey Cup. Now, this is a little cool thing that Laurier Athletics posted. Obviously, the Grey Cup, Toronto won against the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. That's right. The Winnipeg Blue Bombers. That's the right team. I'm not a big CFL guy. But so Laurier alumni on the Blue Bombers were Tanner Cadwallader. Let me try that again. I'm pronouncing a bunch of names tonight. Cadwallader. And Malcolm Thompson were both, I think they were both defensive players, but I'm not 100% sure. And then on Toronto, so the people who actually won the Grey Cup, Curly Gittens Jr., sick name, Robbie Smith, Braden Null, Brandon Caver, and Sam. I'm going to give this one to you, Ross. Sam Achampong?
Sam Achampong.
Yeah, there you go. I think that's how it's said. You got it.
Sorry, apologies if I'm pronounced it wrong. Yes.
Sorry, Sam, if you're listening. Yeah, so that's pretty exciting to see. It's good to see that athletes at play here at Laurier, especially football, can have kind of a career outside of just their 4 or 5 years playing for the Golden Hawks.
It's really good to see.
So let's transition. I came up with this cool segment idea, basically so I can talk about three things I want to talk about. We'll start with, do you want to start with me or do you want to start with you?
We could alternate between.
Okay, let's alternate. Going to do, I wrote it down as your top three sports moments as a fan. So this doesn't have anything to do with, oh, who's the greatest athlete ever, MJ, LeBron, no. We're talking about personal moments that you like are going to remember forever the rest of your life because they impacted you so greatly. So Ross, why don't you give it a go to start off, kind of set the scene for me. Where were you? How did you feel? And what was the moment, of course?
Are we doing three moments or just one?
Pardon me?
Are we doing three or just one?
We'll alternate. So you do. Alternate? All you right. Start with your third best.
My third best?
I got my third best too.
Easiest. The year is 2016. If you know where this, I feel like a lot of people know where this is going.
I think we might have some overlap here. I'm not going to lie, but go ahead.
Went on to ESPN 2016. Saw an interview. It was in the NBA Finals, the Cleveland Cavaliers, Golden State Warriors.
Oh.
And it was said, no team has ever come back 3-1 in the NBA Finals history.
They did say that many times.
LeBron James decided to take that personally and win the next three games.
Three games.
In a row.
So I got to ask you a question about that game. Game 7. What was the more impactful moment? LeBron's pin block against Iguodala or Kyrie's 3 over Steph?
The block. Because if you go back and watch that game, those two teams could not score to save their lives. And just when Golden State thought they'd get an easy layup, get the lead off the basket, LeBron James comes out of absolutely nowhere and changes the tempo and just the momentum of the game goes straight to Cleveland. I truly believe if Golden State makes that layup, Iguodala makes it, they probably walk away the championship.
It's a good point.
Then be at home too.
So I just joked about LeBron or Jordan, but I'm going to ask you LeBron or Jordan.
Personally, when it comes to those two, if either two are your GOAT, there's no problem with me.
Okay.
I just picked Jordan because if you can three-peat twice in one decade, I think because no one else can do that, no one else has done that in any sport, you got to give it to MJ.
Kobe or LeBron?
LeBron.
Okay. All right, so moving on, we got my number three moment. I think I'm grade 7 or 8 and coming home from school, ALC, I always mess this up, ALCDS, Toronto Blue Jays, Texas Rangers, they're taking on, I guess it's the divisional championship, they're down, I don't know the exact details, I was a young boy, they're down, let's say they're down 4-2, Joey Bats, Jose Bautista steps up to the plate, and like, I remember this, like the pitch, the hit, the bat flip, just
the stare down.
Everyone just so hyped. He trots around the bases like the absolute. He's not a great guy, but he's just like he was so good. He hit so many dingers. So that was an all time one for me. My neighbor was over and we just had a ball after that. And then they won that series, so that was pretty exciting for me. Number two,
I gotta go with 2017, my Philadelphia Eagles winning the Super Bowl. First time in the Super Bowl in the history of the NFL for the Philadelphia Eagles and doing it against the greatest of all time in Tom Brady. Doesn't really get better than that, except for my number one.
Okay. So my number two, I hope my number two isn't your number one.
I wouldn't think so.
Okay. We're staying in Toronto. We got against your Philadelphia boys. We got Philadelphia 76ers, Toronto Raptors. Everyone knows where I'm going with this. 2019, the Raptors run 4.1 seconds left on the clock, I think, something like that. Inbound to Kawhi Leonard. Trots over to the baseline and just hits a dagger. Bounces on the rim a couple times, drops right at the buzzer. Everyone goes nuts. Joel Beans is crying. And it was just one of the greatest kind of euphoric moments that I ever witnessed as a fan. So that was my number two. We'll move over to you now.
That was a great moment. That was actually an honorable mention for me.
Okay.
Probably was tied for my third. My all-time sports fan moment is, this is going to sound a little funny, I'm a huge Philadelphia fan when it comes to football. Love my Eagles, but when it comes to basketball, Boston has my heart. Those are my Celtics, that's my team. So my number one moment as a sports fan was 2008, my Boston Celtics, from the year before 2007 being the worst team in the league, flipped it, traded for Kevin Garnett and Ray Allen, and immediately became the best team in the league. And then I watched my favorite team win after a year of them being the worst team to the best team. So, and I was young, so that's probably my favorite moment. One of the key moments from that finals is Kevin Garnett yelling, "Anything's possible," on camera.
Yeah, it was just a sick moment. Did they have Rajon Rondo?
Yes, they did.
When they were the worst team too.
Rondo came the following year.
Oh, so they kind of loaded up like the Heat did that one.
Yeah.
Okay. Augusta National. Green grass. Tiger Woods makes his debut. His re-debut, because 22 years prior, he won in historic fashion, 12 shots. He's coming back. He's had some good tournaments going. But the real question is, can he do it again? Can he win his fifth green jacket? Things start off pretty neutral. Shoots 70 in the first round. And then things kind of develop throughout the weekend. He keeps himself in it. He's two back going into Sunday. He puts that mock red, beautiful, sexy shirt on. I must add.
The signature.
Yeah, the signature red, what he's done so many times before. He puts that thing on and he goes out and he just picks the golf course apart. I think he shot 68 or 69 in the final round. But this shot, I said to my dad, I think we were on hole 14. I said, "Dad, like, we haven't really seen that iconic Tiger moment. Like, the thing that he does that is just different from everything in the whole tournament, where the fist pump comes out and it's just amazing." He steps up on 16 and hits it to a foot. And I was like, there it is. That's his moment. That's all I needed. And then he kind of just closes the tournament out in the last two holes. And to witness a moment like that, where I'm still, like, I was 17 years old, so I was like very like aware of what was going on. It wasn't like I was 8 years old. No offense to Boston Celtics. It's a different type of nostalgia, but it's the awareness that I had for him doing, like, being great was pretty exciting. And then you had said you had honorable mention for Kawhi.
Yeah, honorable mention was the Kawhi shot you named, obviously. And if I could say is probably watching Stephen Curry this past season, even though he dismantled my Celtics. He's one of my favorite players. Watching him win a ring where he kind of felt like he has nothing left to prove after that ring. So it was really nice to watch that. Like, he killed them. To be really
honest, he was ridiculously good. Big golf guy, by the way. I don't know if you knew that.
Oh, yeah, huge.
Yeah, he loves it, which is good to see.
He has his own Under Armour line, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Just strictly golf.
How do you feel about Under Armour?
How do I feel? Under Armour is really nice to wear under athletic clothing.
Yeah.
I wouldn't necessarily wear Under Armour outside of sports, or like, I wouldn't wear Under Armour like how I wear Jordans, but if I got to play a game, say I want to hit up the open gym,
yeah,
I might get a pair of Curries and come slide.
Okay. So Under Armour, when I was young, like when I was in grade school, had like, it was so much clout. Like, if you had an Under Armour shirt with the big logo on the front, it was like you were the athletic guy. But now, I don't know. There's so many other brands out there that are just like, you're well put together, man. So that's why I wanted to ask you,
see
what we're looking like. So my honorable mention was the 2009 Penguins winning the Stanley Cup. I remember I went to the grocery store with my dad, got a bunch of candy, fell asleep in the third period and woke up and they had won the cup. So that was a pretty cool one for me. Anything else you want to cover today, Ross?
Anything else? Not really. If there's anything, last thing I could say is come out and support our women and men's basketball game tonight.
Yeah, come support. Actually, we're going to finish off with a little segment I like to call life advice. I got an email from this kid at our school. I mean, we're just going to read through and see what we got here. All right, so he goes, I'm 6'1", 230, bench 225. Decent bench, not going to lie. He goes, hello, I'd like to ask you advice on a potential problem I might face. There's a chance my arch nemesis, and we're going to change the names here because we don't, we're starting off very strong here. We're going to change the name. So there's a chance my arch nemesis, Hubert, comes to Waterloo next year, and I'm scared for my mental health.
Wow.
He sells maple syrup. Wow. Okay. But we all know that swear word. We don't swear here on Radio Laurier. So he goes, we all know that stuff is runny. And he also has a bit of a stinky aroma. This is an interesting email. I've cut off all communication with him since high school. I guess they went to high school together. But he manages to know my every move, even when I got home to my hometown, which we won't mention. What should I do if he somehow finds his way here at Laurier? David is also 5'8", 230, probably irrelevant, but his vert is crazy, and he has some serious riz at his job at McDonald's. I don't know what we're supposed to help this guy with. Do you have any advice for young, he didn't mention his name, but do you have any advice for this guy?
Don't really know what he's asking.
Honestly, I kind of back this Hubert guy. Like, he works at McDonald's. Like,
he got riz.
Have you ever? Where did you work when you were younger?
We're talking about high school jobs.
Let's talk about high school jobs.
Talking about high school jobs. I started off at Old Navy.
Okay.
And
big fashion guy.
No, they were hiring.
Okay.
And did a little stint at Food Basics.
Oh, my buddy worked at Food Basics. How'd you like it? Little stint sounds like you weren't there too long.
Oh, no. I was probably there for like 2 years.
Oh, okay.
Little stint relatively to like life.
Did you work through like the school year?
Yeah.
When you're older? I worked at a golf course, worked at a restaurant, and then I ref basketball through the school year as well, which is, it was fun. It was good. Other than that, David, or not David, what, emailer. I don't know how to help you here. You're 6'1", he's 5'8". Like, I'm not promoting any physical violence, but just kind of figure it out. We can, you guys can have a nice conversation and just maybe make friends with him. Kill him with kindness, right?
Also, bro, you guys don't really see each other.
Well, it sounds like this guy's a bit of a stalker, but yeah, you're right.
It's also university.
It's a big school, especially
coming in first year.
Especially if you're in the BBA program. It's a pretty big program, so I think you guys can stay away from each other and just kind of hang out. Learn your macro and microeconomics. That's it for us on today's show. Thanks, Ross, for sitting down with me and having a chat about Laurier Sports. Looking forward to doing it again second semester, and go Gales. No.
Wow.
Go Golden Hawks. Go Golden Hawks. I didn't mean to say that. Anyway, okay. Go Hawks.